everybody that lives around here. Let's just clear that ocean. Lighthouse down. You know the big ships, they don't sail here anymore. And there's no use for me standing around. But then my
behind a mask, pretending to be something that he's not. Acts 4 and 12 states emphatically in the Bible that there is none other name given whereby that we must be saved. Now, some versions today of the many manuscript versions that have been given to us give the name Jesus as the name of salvation, while others state in their translation. It's Yahshua. And old scriptures from the Testament say that it's Yahweh in the text of Ramadan over 7,000 times. Yahweh is the Savior, it says, and none other when we get to the Old Testament. And now we're going to carry it over into the New Testament, Revelations 14:1. The Father's name was in their forehead. 9:4, 22:4, and 7:3. All these reveal that believers, true believers now, will have the Father's name in their forehead. Now, the former versions contradict each other to the extreme. Make your election and calling sure. Study to show yourself approved. Workman that needeth not to be ashamed. There's a masquerader posing under the mask of Talmuz, really, the pagan mythical god of the past. We're going to talk about the Talmuz in a series beginning tonight to tell you that you must have the name that's approved in the Old Testament and confirmed in the New Testament once we have the two names hooking up together, the Father's name, which would be the fellowship name of the Father. Now, remember that the early manuscripts of the New Testament says that the name of Jesus was never in the original New Testament. Now, think about that. We'll confirm this. Let me make this statement right up front so that I can humble you if you want to reject or to refuse to believe that. Let me tell you right up front that there is a $10,000 reward for the name Jesus in the original now, the 1611 original, not the revised version that most Christians carry. Now, revised means it's been changed. And so the production of change we have coming to us at the lion pen of the scribes, if you can believe that, the name of Jesus. It was not the chosen name of the Messiah. Have you ever wondered why that Pilate wrote on the superscription when he wrote it? He wrote the name of who this man said he was. And this man never said he was Jesus one time. He never said he was Yahshua. But what he did say, when we examine the preponderance of the evidence and we get down to the nitty-gritty, it states on the torture stake three names. It was written in Hebrew. Now, you don't write Jesus in Hebrew. Jesus is not a Hebrew name. You say, well, that's what we call him. It doesn't matter how you write in Hebrew. That's what we call him today, Pastor Buddy. Glory to God. That's what the Bible says. You see, folks are so involved. They've been given a document, it's not found after the scrutiny, after the search. Particularly, we're talking about the King James Bible. It's just not in the scriptures where it declares it to be Jesus. The word Christ is not in the New Testament in its original. The word Christ is a Hindu word. And the Messiah is a Hebrew reference over to what we would call the one who came and died for us, and he was prophesied to come in the flesh. Now let's remember that, it's very important. On the contrary, these editions state that the covenant God whom the Hebrews worshipped, or when they called on his name over 6,800 times, that he would definitely come in a flesh body and dwell among us, as according to John 1:14, Philippians 2:6. And he said in John 5:43, I am come in my Father's name. So the Father's name and the Son's name was exactly, believe it or not. And this is how they got away with this great deception of bringing the mask of the masquerader, posing behind the mask, is a being they call Jesus. It's a fictitious character. I hate to tell you that. I know people love it. I know people call on it. And I'm not trying to discourage you, if that's all you know, to call on the Father's name. But you see, Jesus is not the name of the Father related back to the Old Testament. You know that we have behind the name Jesus a mask, or we're uncertain, the scriptures are not confirmative, matter to the contrary, in fact, where the name Jesus is not even in the original Bible. So somebody has really pressed the name out that was there originally and replaced it with a mask of an intruder that's crept in unaware, the devil, and give us a name to call on that is not even in the original scriptures. That's very important. Now, if you notice, by looking into the research, and we're going to start into the name of Jesus here, let's look it up. In all concordances and all dictionaries list it to be a Greek version of Joshua. Now that's how they pronounce originally as Yahushua. Yahushua. And it refers the reader to Jeshu in 34:42. And Hebrew sometimes is transliterated into English in different ways. The Holman's Dictionary lists Joshua. Here's how it starts, and you'll begin to understand the confusion here. It lists J-O-S-H-U-A and J-E-U-S-H and J-E-S-H-U as being translated into Jesus, which accounts for having the name Jesus for Joshua in Hebrews 4:8, Acts 7:14, and that's listed in the King James Version. Now, to understand why all the names relate back to Jeshu, it's important to look at how scroll writing practices were influenced around the time of the Messiah. Many early copies of the New Testament abbreviated sacred words. Abbreviations of these words were formed by writing the first and the last letters and placing a line over them, using our English to illustrate God. It would appear as GD, or Lord would appear as L-O-R-D with a line drawn over them. And that would appear as LD. Now, the attempt to differentiate and dignify the sacred name of God goes back to pre-Messianic times, first done by the Jews. Now, from the Dead Sea Scrolls, we know that Jewish scribes often distinguish the name Yahweh, which would be Yod Heh Vav Heh in Hebrew, as the Tetragrammaton, and it's recognized in every place where Lord or God has been substituted. Frequently, the scribes who wrote the Dead Sea Scrolls would write the Tetragrammaton in old Paleo-Hebrew script, although the script was otherwise written in square Aramaic script. If you would look at an example, as Habakkuk, the commentary found in Cave 1, which uses the Tetragrammaton only in biblical quotations whenever reference is made to God. In the commentary portion, the generic word El, or G-O-D, is used, and this is true when other Dead Sea Scroll documents were presented. And so then, with the confusion of the Qumran covetors, they had other crafty devices for circumventing the use of God's name. Sometimes they would write four or five dots in place of the Tetragrammaton. In their commentary rule, for example, the writer quotes Isaiah 40:3. And here's what it says. Prepare in the wilderness a way. We know from the Masoretic text that the four dots stand for the Tetragrammaton, Yahweh. Now, the same passage is quoted again in a document discovered in the Qumran Cave 4 with four dots representing the divine name. And now, at times, dots were placed above the Tetragrammaton, which give it the appearance of being a different word altogether. And the people in the Qumran community belonging to the Essene groups, described in the first century by Josephus, they lived apart from other of the Hebrews in a strict disciplined group and copy and compose the writings mostly around the time of the Messiah. And you have to wonder what influenced this small community of these people that disguised Yahweh and Yahweh's name in four dots and with the vowel points above the dots, where we now mistakenly get Jehovah or Yahovah. Now, we know that the Sanhedrin Council was the highest Jewish council in the first century. It had authority over other Jews and was made up of the Pharisees and Sadducees, these two major religious sects. The word Sanhedrin is usually brought into English translation as council. It's presided over by the high priest. And at times the words chief priest refer to the action of the Sanhedrin, though the name of the council itself is not used. But keep in mind that this is the same council that accused the Savior of blasphemy. This accusation stemmed from a Sanhedrin law of the Mishnah, the Sanhedrin, number 7, and it reads, "The blasphemer only incurs guilt if he utters the secret name of God." When this sentence is pronounced, the judges would arise and rend their garments and never again sew up the torn parts in order for them to accuse the Messiah. The Messiah had to proclaim that he was Yahweh, their Elohim, or their God, and to speak the name as they rendered the rendition of his usage as blasphemy, as we read in Mark 14:63. Blasphemy. They didn't want Yahweh to use this name. You know why? Because the name of Yahweh is a strong tower, And it's the name above every name, both in heaven and on earth. Why is it that the name of Yahweh is a strong tower? Well, it's because that they determined through tradition of the book of Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 25 and 26 and 27, when it says these scholars, so-called scribes, Pharisees, they have forgotten my name by replacing it with Lord or God. And in this case, in the Christian generation, we've moved on to at the sly cunning craftiness of the Jewish church, which invited the Roman Catholic Church and encouraged it to drop the name of Yahweh, to not use it, and to call on this name Jesus, which has evolved into the deceptive name that it is today. And I know that's making you uncomfortable tonight to have to listen to this, but it's all true. It's all documented. To do your homework, get yourself a King James original 1611 Bible. Costs you less than $30. So it's a cheap way to see that they weren't saying Jesus, because Jesus is not the pronunciation of the 1611 Bible. They were saying something else, trying to hide the name as a replacement for the Tetragrammaton by doing these four dots that represented the divine name, and at the times the dots were placed above the Tetragrammaton, which has been written by mistake. It's a means of counseling the word without actually erasing it and giving it the appearance of being a different word altogether. That's where I told you they got the name Yahovah, both of these being erroneous renderings through these Masoretics who in the 8th century put these dots above the name Yahweh or the Tetragrammaton or for the four sacred letters. And now we are calling upon Jesus to replace Yahweh as the Son of God with a different name than the Father had. The Father was rejected, he was rebuked, he was whipped, and finally crucified for bringing the revelation and the spoken word of the name of Yahweh. Most of the Hebrews there had never heard this name when Yahweh spoke it. And when the priest sat up in the fourth chapter of the book of Acts, you can read it, and he rent his garment in regard to the Messiah claiming himself to be God or to be Yahweh. Now, though the true believers were not afraid to use the name of Yahweh when speaking of the Messiah, the rest of we're talking about the ones that followed Yahweh, they called him who he said he was because that's who he said he was, and he was whipped and he was beaten and they throwed stones at him in John 10:30. When he revealed his identity or his deity, the church went into recoil. They could not accept a man in the flesh who made himself Yahweh, and when he implied that he pronounced the name physically, verbally, that it was always never to be repeated or spoken even by the high priest in the temples until it was spoken once a year on the Day of Atonement when the high priest went in alone. Never was it to be spoken in public. Now, let's look at the English when we're talking about the commonplace and many of the scrolls, and you can go there yourself and you can prove to yourself that in the Hebrew, which was the Yod and the He and the Y, when they tried to force the Y in English, the SH or the W, the Hebrew had no vowels. So they are implied when pronouncing the word, the outcome as you pronounce it would have been Yeshua. Remember, Jeshu. Though the true believers were not afraid to use this name, Yahweh, the rest of the Israelites who were intimidated by for fear of the Jews would not use this name. If they made it a name that they could call upon, it was a name that was rebuffed. It was a name that they were punished for using. And so then, the name literally got drowned in unbelief. They actually literally forgot how to speak the name through the translations of the early scriptures until they had the Septuagint, which was written 100+ years before the coming of Christ. And in the Septuagint, and it's still available, by the way, copies of it, facsimiles, to be exact, the original that they have, that the Tetragrammaton was intact. For those who know how to speak Hebrew, they were speaking the name Yahweh. Now, why was the name Yahweh forgotten for Baal? Well, the word Baal is a four-letter word. The name Yahweh is a four-letter word. So in competition, when they wrote the name Jesus in the New Testament, by the time that the Greeks got it, they wrestled with this word to manifest a word that would come close to doing just exactly what I have explained to you. That they would take the name close in Hebrew and try to squeeze the name Joshua, or Jesus, in relationship to Hebrews 4 and 8, check it out and see. Or they tried to get Jesus as Joshua. Now we know that that just don't bear the truth. When properly translated, the name Yahweh, the Tetragrammaton, in the Septuagint, always referenced back to the spelling of YHWH, not JESUS or JU or JU, which they use these languages to force the name that they replaced because it was against the Jewish customs to pronounce it. And so they used Hebrews 4 and 8 and Acts 7:45 in the King James Bible as translated in the Revised Version finally as Jesus. In the Standard 1611, there was no J's for them to pronounce from. They've invented this, ladies and gentlemen. It's not the chosen name of the Messiah. Backed up by proof of the Old Testament itself when it uses 6,800 times to identify a Messiah that would come in the Father's name. and the Father's name, they would not receive because they had been taught and vaccinated against it. They were afraid to be called by the Father's name. And so then, by habit, they hid the name of Yahweh. And when we know that these scribes, they distinguish the name Yahweh as through the Tetragrammaton, most people were not literal or scholarly enough to understand what they had put and recognized in every place where Lord or God had been. They substituted. So thus, we have the masquerader that emerges in the New Testament, a Greek Latin god, Jesus. Now, I hope and trust that I don't offend you in any way. Please study this out. If I'm right and you're wrong, then your soul's at stake. If I'm wrong, at least you need to prove me wrong. That's a challenge to you tonight, to prove me wrong that the name Jesus is not even 400 years old. That the Tetragrammaton, which has been written as long as man almost has been in existence. Now, they used crafty devices for circumventing the use of God's real name by writing four or five dots, for the dots representing the divine name. By mistake, they did this. By tradition, by hiding the name, they did this. And this truth has been hidden for centuries, ladies and gentlemen. Now, to go into the Messiah's name, it said that he would have a name above every name. Now, remember that? A name above every name. Now, this name, at the name of Yahweh, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. And the Semitic languages have the ability to convey the abundant meaning through only a few words. Only three words are needed to write the entire law of curse mentioned above that I am talking to you about. The Hebrew reads right to left and appears in English as it reads Yamak Shomo Wazukah. It is a complete common illustrated by the Qumran scrolls and many texts you could read today. And it's now of how that they have hid coming out, how they've hid the name from us, how they refused to speak it, and our Creator, Savior, was made into a pagan ritual image of I-E-S-O-U-S, pronounced Yeshua. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the Greek influence, they wanted to replace or translate the names sounding in Greek so it could give it a Greek sound. And this Hebrew name, Yahweh, turned into I-E-S-O-U-S. He pronounced Jesus. Jesus, that's where we get Jesus. And listen where it came from. The Greek ending of U.S., Jesus, added to most masculine names, is the male form of Aetho, the goddess of salvation. Now, does that sound familiar? Aetho is pronounced Yeshu, like Yeshu, except without the H, since the Greek language has no H sound. The I is equivalent to the Hebrew letter called Yod. So the name of our Messiah was never Jesus, starting with a J. It started with a Yod. And it just happened to be that the name of Yahweh, the Tetragrammaton, reading from right to left, the first letter in his name is Yod, starting with a Y. I've told you how that the highest mountain chain in the world is the Himalayas, the tallest tree we have in our possession here in America, one of the five major trees identified as being in New Jerusalem, not Old Jerusalem, because this tree don't even grow there, and that's the redwood or the sequoia. Ladies and gentlemen, Yahweh's name has come back in nature. The sound of it is distributed through the sound that Pilate wrote in three different languages that we have the Pharaoh. He was raised up for the purposes of making his name known. And now these superstitious evil to be wanted to blot his name out, forget his name for Baal. Now we have an education from a new tale of the letter J. Now, the Savior's name did not have the name Jesus anywhere in it. The letter J, according to the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, did not exist until after the mid-1600s. I have a letter to confirm that. It's derived from the Greek I and the Hebrew Y, with a tail added to the I. It was done for decoration purposes at the beginning of sentences, but would still not pronounce as the J sound as it is now. Now, and so then, the invention of the printing press, the letter J gradually acquired its own sound through French influence. The name Jesus, instead of Jesus, arrived and became more commonplace. And so, by the evolution of this false name that is now as Jesus in Greek, where they were trying to get the I, which was representing the Y, or the Yod, into a J sound, which they worked hard and long. And ladies and gentlemen, the church that pulled this off is now known as the whore that would deceive the very elect. Come out of her, my people, is what the Bible says. Come out of this whore that is doing these things, because the whore would deceive what? The very elect. Now, why would the whore have the ability to deceive? Well, it's because that they changed the form of the name of Yah, see 68:4. Read Psalm 68:4. Now, remember I told you about Pharaoh made his name, the sound of it declared throughout the whole earth. It just so happens that there's an amazing revelation here that I can give you, and if this is the first time you've ever heard it, I hope that you'll take it to heart and test it. Simply do a word test. Test the name of Jesus that's masquerading behind the mask of Talmuz, these pagan gods of the past, these saviors that they've hatched up, and these idol worshippers of the Catholic Church. They give us Jesus. Now, Jesus was the principal sky god, the pagan sky god that was around for a long time, even before the birth of the Messiah. They worshipped these pagan gods in the heavens, giving up the worship of the hosts of the heavens. And they did this to get around worshiping the Father of the Hebrew people. My people have I chosen to be for myself. They're the fewest people on the earth. And they'll see that you're called by the name of Yahweh, Deuteronomy 22:10. And they'll be afraid of you. When the Yahweh preachers come on the scene and they overshadow, especially with the sound demonstration. Now that's the yod that I was talking about that's embedded in the Septuagint in the Tetragrammaton. Still intact today, even before the birth of the Messiah. Now you can do yourself a favor. You can look it up. Get you a manuscript of the Septuagint. A lot of the Septuagint have now gone to the typical Christian concept, Lord, L-O-R-D, God, and we know from the truth of the word that there's many lords and many gods. And so then, to discern the truth, we've got to seek the truth. To seek the truth is to get away from the standard Christian concept of Jesus in the New Testament. The true name was never Jesus. As they tried to originally pronounce Yahushua, they changed it to Jesus. This is how they done it. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a simple fact that Herod knew how to write the Tetragrammaton. He was a Greek-speaking reader of the Bible. He knew what Yahweh was called in the Tetragrammaton. He knew how to pronounce it. So he wrote it in the Hebrew language in the presence of all the people that attended the ceremony of the torture stake that the Messiah hang on. It was not a cross. It was in a form of a tree that he hung on. This glamorization and romanticizing the Catholic cross, making it so dramatic. You know, he's carrying this big, heavy object. It was nothing, ladies and gentlemen, no more than a tree that wide out, and they nailed his hands to the Y. And actuality, the yod is in the form of a Y. The yod, the hay, Y, hey, it's a wa. So the wa, the third letter here, is in the form of what the Catholic would call a cross, which it never was. It was a tree. And it really looks like a tree. That's what kind of a shape it was in. And if you would think that as he hung there on that tree, not a cross, he hung there upon the third symbol in Paleo Hebrew of his own name. Isn't that wonderful? That the yod, which symbolized the Y, and the hey and the wa, hey, in Tetragrammaton written in the Septuagint, still intact, still available. All you gotta do is spend a few bucks if you dare. And you'll see there's no such thing on that inscription that he wrote Jesus. This is an invention after the fact. His name began to become prominent after they denied the one that came as the Hebrew God of glory, the promised Messiah, that he was come as Yahweh. And when he come and said he was Yahweh, the skeptics came out in mass. Oh, where's your father at if you're Yahweh? Where's he at? Well, Christ gave them a reasonable answer. He said, the Father that sent me is in me. And the trouble with Christians. They don't really believe that. That God was in the Messiah, or what they say in the Scriptures, in Christ. That's a manufactured word. Let's say the Messiah. Who was in the Messiah? God the Father. Now, God was a spirit, possessing that body of flesh that breathed normally. And what he breathed in was amazing. You can hear yourself through your own natural ability to breathe, and nobody can live without breath. And the Bible said he's closer than the breath we breathe. Isn't that amazing? That inhale and exhale of oxygen is no more than a demonstration of the sound of his name being used to give glory and honor to the Father who was in the Son, reconciling the world unto himself. Now the Sanhedrin law, as I said, they vehemently opposed the Messiah who claimed to be Yahweh in a flesh body. Many times it's recorded, and I've gave you scriptures to indicate it, where they rejected that. They beat the apostles, they beat the Messiah, and rejected it, tore their garments, each time that they proclaimed that Yahweh was the Messiah, and the Messiah literally was Yahweh in a flesh body. The Jews outright rejected it, would not have it, won't have it today. Give us Barabbas, a robber. They don't want truth. They won't have truth. You know why? Because the truth is forever settled. Nothing can be added to it. And certainly nothing can be taken away. Now, who brought in all the pagan practices, the celebrations, in a form of paganism? They tell us, they want us to believe, that Christ died on Friday and got up on Sunday and he was in the grave for 3 days. That's not possible. They want to tell us it was on the weekend that he died, and the Bible says it was not on a weekly Sabbath that he arose. It says that it was a high Sabbath, changing, if you understand the festivals, and you understand the calendar. Today, we've been overpowered with Christmas extravaganza, and we've been filled with Easter eggs, replaced Passover, and we have bunny rabbits, laid by rabbits. These Easter egg hunts are the product of a rabbit, and it's all pointing toward the sex goddess. Here we are. We are more prone to worship a lie. Truth hurts. I'm teaching you the truth. You won't have it. I hope some of you do. I hope some of you wake up and get off your laurels and go to the dictionaries and order you a version or copy of it. It's all available online now. It's very cheap. You don't have a lot of, you don't need a lot of money now to come up to speed in the modern language, the New English Bible, the Webster Bible, the Amplified Bible, the New Berkeley Bible, the Revised Standard, James Moffat, the New American Standard, the King James, and right on down the line, get these together and compare them. And you'll see something that will jump at you immediately. If you make a careful examination of these editions, you'll discover that the word Easter exists in only one verse in the Bible, King James, in 12:4. Intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. And that's not the word. That's replaced. Easter is replaced and look how it's crowded out in our vocabulary, how that we have been changed by this one word, when all of the other versions translate the same message, intending to bring him before the people after Passover. The New King James Bible says after Passover. The New American Standard, the New American International Version, the James Moffat, the Revised Standard, the New Revised Standard, Modern Language, the New, it all uses that right word, and they've done the same thing with Jesus. They've invented a Greek mythological god to worship. We will worship Zeus in spite of what the Hebrew God says his name is. That was their determination. So it was an outward church formulated to tear down in carnality and paganism and cult worship and image worship and statue worship and Easter worship, tear down all the truth, including the name, by using a pagan god, E.A. Zeus. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I know that's hard. I know that it might affect you. I know that you would rather not hear this. I hope and pray that you can go to these editions that I've talked about, prove all things, and notice that Yahweh and Jesus is two different names. Go to Acts 4:11, where it's turned and written in Jesus' name. You know, we had to go with it because that's what the Bible says. So we ran with it without investigating it. See how we got deceived? You see how we got, and the Bible says that Satan will come and with a deceptive name deceive the whole world. We can never accept it, Christians can't, that it's Jesus. That the name Jesus is a form of the mask of Talmuz, the masquerader, hiding behind this name in a Greek-Latin rendering in a manufactured evolutionary name that's finally come into being after many hundreds of years. That's the problem. I mean, even the King James goes back to 1611. You say, well, I'm sticking with what they said back then, glory to God. But we go back to the original, that's the revised 1611, which was revised again in 1702, with the name Jesus not being in it until that time. They finally got the J in there that they wanted to, and it came out with a G sound. See this deception? Jesus. The sound like that maybe a pagan god is lurking behind that mask? Are you concerned about your soul salvation? Are you concerned about being deceived? And the Bible says the devil is so crafty that he will deceive the very elect. The Bible says in the book of Daniel that he will deceive many will fall of understanding and light. And Satan is so crafty by deceiving the very elect, even when you know better, he can still deceive you, and you'll go along with a lie. You know what will expose a lie? Only the truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Now, I've preached this message to you tonight in respect that Yahweh would bless you and that Yahweh would give you the understanding that it takes to pass this understanding to you to give you the power to overcome tradition, overcome hundreds of years of tradition, overcome the ability to speak the name of Jesus through tradition. We've been given that name from the word go, 1700s. Churches have been established on that name. It's hard to tear those things down, and I understand that. I know the enormity of the problem. However, it's got to be faced. It's a hard saying, and who can hear it? Now, how are we going to overcome? Study to show yourself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. I know it's startling. I know that it will upset you. I know that in time you will lose your friends and your family, maybe even your wife and your children. Maybe the wife would lose the husband, depends on which side that the truth is on here. I didn't come to bring peace. I come to bring division, and that's what it'll bring. It'll separate the mother from the daughter. Now, that shouldn't be that way, but that's the way it is. The truth is so hard that it will separate the normal, natural instinct of a family's mind when it comes in with the truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Well, you've got my message tonight. I hope and trust that Yahweh will bless you and encourage you to seek out the truth of His name. Look behind the mask of Talmud's, please. Masquerading behind it is the name Jesus, a God called Jesus. I know that there's millions and millions that call upon Him. They sing His praise. You see the worship services, they seem so right, they can't be wrong. But what is highly esteemed among man is an abomination to Yahweh. So, search the scriptures for and you think, if you'd like to write me, you can write me at Post Office Box 568, wherever you hear us tonight on 5890. WWCR on 5890. That's the frequency that you'll need to pull us in every Saturday night. That's Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call. Write me at Post Office Box 568, Sweetwater. One word, Sweetwater. Sweetwater, Tennessee. 37874. Now, if you'd like to call me, as I'm live tonight, here on WWCR 5890, I'm in here live and in person, doing this show live, by going to oneyahweh.com, you can get this message, www.oneyahweh.com, or you can write Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box, 568 Sweetwater, Tennessee, 37874. Now, we'll see you down the road tomorrow night. Or we'll be on live on 4840. That's WWCR. And you can pick us up at 9 Eastern Standard Time there tomorrow night. And I'll see you tomorrow night with another message of truth, and I hope and trust that Yahweh would bless you and give you understanding.